Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. Stop crime before it happens and help make your neighborhood safer with Ring. Go to ring.com/know-how and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit. Today on Know-How,
we're soldering and hopefully it won't smell like chicken.
And we're going to hack Leo's Tesla.
Oh, yeah.
Show where we build, bend, break, and hopefully don't burn ourselves with soldering irons. I am Father Robert Ballasaire.
I'm Jason Howell, and professional calligrapher. This is a calligraphy pen, now. Right?
Oh, yeah, it's wood burning.
Or is it a tattoo?
From like the Boy Scouts.
It's for tattoos?
You could technically make a tattoo with that.
Cool, I would do a lot in this episode.
Oh, wow. This is going to be a really bad episode, folks. No, but it's going to be fun because we're going to go over some basic soldering. I mean, I have to bring you through it. I've brought all my co-hosts through it at some point.
Awesome.
It's kind of a thing that you got to know. It's a survival skill in the maker DIY community. And I thought we might bring you all the way back. In the past, we've kind of assumed that you have a certain level of knowledge about soldering. Maybe that was wrong. Let's start you from the 101.
I mean, I know for me personally, I've dabbled in soldering here and there. I think a little bit in university, I did a little soldering because it was a requirement, of course. I've always wanted to be more proficient in it because, you know, as with so much on this show, once you know how to do these things, a lot of times you aren't beholden to the people who are doing them and then charging a lot of money for it. You can kind of take it into your own hands. Right. And soldering opens up a lot of doors.
And I do have to say that I am not an expert. I would rate myself as just above novice. My spirit animal for soldering is a man by the name of Smitty Halibut. He's a friend of mine from DEF CON, and he is the person I go to anytime I have a particularly difficult soldering job. He's got all the tips. He's got all the tricks. He's been doing it for years. But let's go ahead and kick it off. The first thing, Jason, is the folks are going to need to have the equipment, the proper equipment. Now, like some others who might be watching, I started way, way back with a Radio Shack. I think it was like a 5-10 watt soldering iron. You probably had something similar, just something off a shelf.
Yeah, probably
a throwaway item, right?
I don't know if I ever had one, but I'm sure that I played with, you know, I had some friends who were more into that stuff when I was a kid, and I would go over to their house and play with their Radio Shack kits and everything. So.
Right. And you could jump on Amazon. You can buy yourself a Weller, which is, it's a decent soldering iron. You could probably get a 45 watt one for about $20. I would suggest you go with something a little higher, because if you do want to learn how to do it and you want to do it properly, what you need is a kit, not just an iron, but a kit. And if you go to the first link here, this is the one I've been suggesting for many, many years. This is the Zenny 3-in-1 soldering station. It's they call it a digital rework station because it's got a digital soldering iron. It's got a hot air gun, which you would use for SMD, surface mount devices that you know, if you're doing that kind of work. Or what I typically use it for is for heat shrink. And then it's also got a DC power supply / a voltmeter. This is going to run you about $85. It goes all the way down to $75, all the way up to $90, based on what kind of season you're in. But it's a good investment. It's not top of the line. It's not a name brand. But I've had this thing now for, 3 years? And it's been perfect. So, you know, get yourself one of these rather than the springing $600-$700 for a nice one. If that's still too much for you, try this one. If you go to the second link, this is also a Zenny. But it's a 2-in-1, so it keeps the soldering iron, it keeps the hot air gun, but it dumps the power supply and the voltmeter. If you don't need that, or if you have it separate, this will save you about $20. These are going to run you about $65. Again, what I like about it is the iron is replaceable. That's the part that's going to wear out the fastest. Everything else is basically just a power supply. Now, you've got one in front of you there. That's that one was called a U-Haw. Actually, I've got my super hand camera here now.
Of this, there you go. Oh, here.
Yeah.
There
you go. That's a U-Haw. It's a Zenny. So they're all the same brand. They're probably all made in the same factory. They just put different lettering on it. So that's your, you can switch between test voltage or output display. You've got a digital setting for both your soldering iron and your hot air gun. So you can precisely set what temperatures you want, what voltages you want. This is probably one of the better purchases I've made over the last couple of years because it's held up so well. I was expecting at that low price that it would be dead within 6 months, but no, it's okay.
Yeah, looks like a tank. I don't know if it performs like a tank over the years, but it looks solid.
Want to shoot at it, but yeah.
No, yeah. Probably not a good idea.
No. The next thing you're going to need is a set of wire cutters and wire strippers. Now, when I started this, I was using scissors when I was a kid just because that's what we had. Don't do that. That's just no.
Especially because wire cutters don't cost that much.
And you will destroy scissors by cutting and stripping. What I would suggest are these, if you go to the link. This is a set of Hakko. They're about $5. Although, if you look at the pricing, Amazon, you really need to fix this. You could buy one for $4.29, or you could save by getting a two-pack for $11.87.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a professional hint.
Math fail.
Just get two of the ones. You'll save a couple of dollars.
and the nice thing about these, this is a diagonal cutter. And the reason why you want a diagonal cutter, if you go to my overhead, is when you're cutting, most of the time your surface is not going to be completely flat. You're going to be cutting it at an angle. You're going to be cutting off of an edge. So this is it's a nice shape to have.
Do you want your cuts to be angular or do you want them to actually be?
It depends on what you're trying to do with it. But this will get into places that a straight cutter won't get into.
Yeah.
The other thing is this is a wire cutter. That's it. Don't use it for cutting sheet metal. Don't use it for cutting wood. Don't use it for cutting anything else. What will happen very quickly is you'll actually dig into the blades of the cutter and then you've just destroyed your cutter. So this is really a case of you're an adult now and there's a tool for everything. Make sure you use that tool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The next thing you're going to want, and I got a set for you here, are some decent wire strippers. And again, you could go ghetto and you could use your wire cutter as the
very delicate so you don't cut through the wire.
Yeah, just enough to get through the insulation.
To get through the casing.
No, don't do that. Get one of these. This again, these are really inexpensive. This is going to cost you what? Another $5 if you go to the I don't think I have a link for this, but yeah, it's about $5. It's the same thing, just go into Amazon. Again, when you have the right tool, things just come out better because when you strip, you don't want to pull away any of the copper strands because then you're losing a little bit of the conductor. You want something like this where it will bite into the insulation and you're not actually cutting all the way through as much as you're crimping a little bit and then pulling away the insulation.
Yeah, you can get these super fancy too. Like we have one at home it has all notches all the way down, all different types, which they don't actually cost that much more than what this is probably going to cost
They don't.
They come in handy in a lot of different ways. But it's probably nice to have kind of a more compact thing to work with when you're dealing with this stuff since everything's so small.
Yeah. No, I've got one of the big ones that has all the different gauges that you can cut. But I kind of like something simple just because I've got the feel for it. I know when I've gotten far enough through the insulation.
Right.
And I work faster that way.
Yeah.
So again, personal preference. Sense. Personal preference. Burke is here because he wants to show us his collection of cutters.
Upstage our cutters.
Oh, I'll see. Because what Burke is trying to say is, your cutter game is weak and you should feel weak.
Check out all the cutters I have.
You get that one. Oh, this is what Burke uses in his lab when he's trying to keep the Twit network running. This one has a weird pull to it. That's...
I don't even know what this one does, but it looks like an alien.
I'm going to stay with my $5 cutters. Thank you very much. Something else you're going to need is a set of helping hands. Now, if you go to my overhead here, Alex, this actually is a Radio Shack. So this is the original one I got along with my little 15-watt whatever soldering iron. It's falling apart, but I mean, these things pretty much last forever. You're going to run out of hands really quickly because you've got one hand holding the soldering iron. You've got one hand holding your solder. So unless you've got three or more hands, you're going to need something like this to hold the wires and or components.
I'm guessing no one has three or more hands. One person does not have three or more hands.
Right.
I'm pretty confident in that.
So what we advocate is instead of getting helping hands, hire someone to hold stuff for you.
it's the cost effective way to do this. Yeah. Right?
Oh, and by the way, they're going to burn their hands because that's just going to happen. So
it's okay.
If you go to link to this, again, these are about $8. I got a really nice one. that I keep only in my lab that cost me $50 and has multiple arms and lights and stuff. You don't need that. When you're just starting out, get yourself something super simple, super basic, because these will kind of get beat up a little bit. Yeah. Next up, paste, solder, and desoldering wick. Jason, you want some paste?
Oh, I'd love some paste.
Open that up and show it off on your camera.
It's like, what kind of paste is this? Paste is an open-ended thing.
That's solder flux.
Looks like hair gel.
It kind of does, right? So let me explain what the different pieces are here. So that's the paste. This is the solder. You've all seen what this looks like. This is, mm-hmm. 0.5 strand. In order to get a good flow onto some types of materials, especially when you're dealing with say, larger gauge cables, the paste actually pulls in the solder. It's a nice way to clean and prep wires when you're going to solder them together. I also use it in combination with a wick, because this is desoldering wick. Let's say you've put too much solder on something, or you're trying to desolder a component. You could use something like a hot air gun to try to blow away the solder, mm-hmm. but more accurate is to dip some of this in some of that, flow the solder paste, and then touch it to the solder, and it will actually just pull it right out.
Oh, wow. And so when it pulls it right out, is it sticking it then to the edge of that?
Right, or? And you just keep cutting it away.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So this disposal. So we'll show you how to use this. Don't worry about it. Okay. With that, you might want to get a sodapult. I really don't use these. Some people have really good effect with them. Me, not so much. This is, again, when you're trying to get rid of solder, all this does is it creates a little bit of a vacuum by pushing the plunger. And then when you release the plunger, it has a little
it
kind suction.
Of pulls it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of works.
Yeah, well, explain that. So it kind of works. Do you have to be a lot more precise with how you're placing it on there for it to work? Or?
No, it's just, it works really well with giant blobs of solder. Not so much the really fine solder. Right, that's when I would switch to the wick. So typically what I'll do is I'll start with the sodapult, just pull as much as I can.
Just kidding. That didn't hurt.
I thought Jason had just injured himself on set.
Is this how you do it?
No, don't. No. They're going to follow you, Jason.
No.
This is an impressionable age, especially on YouTube.
Don't do what I'm doing. Don't do that.
No, but it's a good way to get a big blob of solder away. Then you use the wick and the paste to get the rest of it away.
Cool.
Okay. Also, you're going to need some heat shrink tubing. This is insulation. Anything that we're going to be soldering is going to have a big space where there is no insulation. So what we have is we have a way to shrink material around the solder joint. There you go. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the adhesive lined HST. If you go to the second link there, it's about $12 for this box. You don't need a whole lot. This box will last you a couple of years if you're like me. And what I like about that is there's a little bit of adhesive on the inside. So in addition to shrinking around the solder joint, it will actually adhere to the insulation on either side of the joint. It makes a watertight seal.
And you have all different types of sizes and all that stuff.
It's my thing. Variety. It's my thing. So that's the basic equipment that we're going to be dealing with. So those are the tools that we have available for us on the desk. You can just go and put that there.
Good.
Clear yourself a little space. Because let's go over some of the basics of 101. No, but we're going to show that off later on.
Okay.
But thanks for jumping ahead, man.
Sorry.
Appreciate that. No, that's
fine. I'm curious.
I'm just kidding. All right. First of all, folks, assume that you are, not that you might, but that you are going to damage whatever surface you're soldering on. I need to put this as a disclaimer up front, because you're dealing with an iron that is going to be very hot, probably going to be very pointy, very sharp. Just assume that you're going to damage whatever it is that you're working on. So have something like this. We're using these little maker mats because we've got a bunch of them, and I love these things.
Yeah, they're perfect for this.
But I've also, like Burke will do it on tile. He has tiles that he lays down, like big 12-inch by 12-inch tiles that are nice because they're solid, and at the same time, after he's done, he just lifts them off and takes them away. Mm-hmm. So just try to protect the surface, especially if it's not your table, because then they'll blame you and they'll blame me, and I don't like that. Makes people hate me. The second thing, Jason, is that silicone-coated wire is much better than plastic-coated wire. Now, you may not know what that means, but I can show you. This is silicone wire. So you take that. Now, it's copper strands, just like you do have in plastic-coated wire, but the insulation is silicone. The nice thing about silicone is it handles age way better. Plastic tends to get fractured it gets brittle and starts
kind of starts to dry out a little bit.
Right. Silicone will not.
Oh, okay.
Secondly, well, it is incredibly heat resistant. So when you're soldering plastic coated wire, the plastic starts to melt. So here's what plastic wire looks like. And you can actually just feel it. I mean, if you Right. You feel the insulation of the plastic coated and you feel the insulation of the silicone coated. There's no difference.
Yeah, big difference.
Yeah. Plastic coated is a lot cheaper. It's crazy cheaper. That's why I always have a supply of it. Anytime I'm going to be doing an installation where it maybe doesn't have to last for more than a couple of months or a year or so, or it's super, super cheap, or I know that I'm only going to do one solder and then put it away and that's it, I might as well use plastic coated. But if it's a project I want to last for a while, I'm always using silicone.
Yeah. That makes sense.
There you go. So choose your wire. Let's also talk a little bit about the tips. This is important. And in fact, if you pull your soldering iron out, you'll notice it doesn't currently have a tip on it. If you go my overhead, here you go. See, what we're going to do is we're actually going to choose from the tips from the ones that are included in this kit, because this is important.
Those same tips are included in both of the different price points.
Oh, yep. Absolutely. Yep. So the type of tip that you choose, and by the way, these are for the hot air gun, but these are for the soldering iron. The type of tip that you choose really will kind of determine the characteristics of your soldering. So if you are looking for something that's going to transfer a lot of heat really, really fast, what you want to do is you want to use a wedge-shaped one. And actually, I've got the wedge right here. So this wedge, this chisel tip, this will transfer heat to whatever you're soldering much faster. But it's not great for fine work, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, it seems more blunt.
It's a big wedge.
Yeah.
Versus something like this. So here we've got a fine tip. This is one that I've been using a lot. See how it's been used a lot of hours. It's a little corroded. It's a little bit bent. But because it's got that fine tip, it means a few things. One, I'm not going to be transferring as much heat as quickly. But two, right.
But it's very focused.
I can focus it on a specific area that I want the heat. I always use this when I'm doing super fine work. Like motherboard.
Correct.
Attaching components to boards. You don't really want that much heat going everywhere. You want heat going exactly where you want it.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is...
What would you use the other one for, just out of curiosity? It looks more like a blade than a tip.
Right.
Like, would that be for, cutting things?
No, you would never cut with your soldering iron.
Okay.
Unless you like to get injured. For example, if I'm soldering a bunch of really low gauge cable, like, you know, 4 gauge or something like that.
Oh, I see.
And I just need to transfer a ton of heat because it won't go all the way through if I don't. Then a pointed tip is ridiculous. So you'd never be able to get that.
Right.
In fact, you're going to see how I use this. When I use this pointed tip, I'm not actually going to be using the point to transfer heat into the wire. I'm going to be using the side.
Oh, okay.
So this, for big cables, this pretty much for everything else. This is pretty much the one that I use. So I'm going to give you something in the middle. So this right here, this tip, it's not pointed, but it's not that super chiseled. This will give you a nice transfer into what you're soldering. So go ahead and remove... Let's show them how this works. If you go ahead and remove this part.
Doesn't smell like chicken yet. That's a good sign.
You get this. That's what it looks like on the inside. And the tip is just going to go on like that.
Okay.
And then you're going to screw down over it. So let me put my tip on. I'm going to use my corroded tip already. There we go.
And then that locks it into place.
That locks it into place. And now I've got my tip. Let me give you this one. There you go. And you can do the same.
All right. So I'll slide it over the top there. It's not going to fit all the way down, right?
No, no. It just goes right on the tip.
And then I'll go ahead and slide that through. And hey, I did it. Piece of cake.
You did a thing.
I did something.
All right. So something else about the soldering iron. Either it's in your hand or it's in the holder.
Right.
No other option. And if it's in your hand, it has to be actively being used. So in other words, I can do this if I'm working on it, but I don't do this where I kind of hold it between my hands.
It behind your ear. Like
Don't do that. Just get into the habit of either you're actively working with the iron or it's back in its holder.
Hey, how hot does that get?
You're going to be able to set that between 100 and 500 degrees Celsius.
Dang.
Don't touch it when we turn it on.
I won't. I will try not to.
The other thing is to keep your tip clean. This is a step that a lot of people will forget. Mine is kind of carbonized. It's a little bit old, but that's just because the iron is 3 years old. Get yourself one of these. These are little Hakko slag pits. These cost about $9 on Amazon. And then when you, after you're done, before you put the tip back in, the iron back into the holster, what I typically do is just put it into the little Brillo pad that's in there, the steel wool, and just rotate and brush a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
Just to clean off the tip. And then I will use the little water pad here just to sort of, and then it goes back in. Again, it's all about building up good habits, and that's a good habit.
Right.
Yeah, because you want to keep your tip clean, because if you don't, it's going to start to corrode on you, and then everything becomes harder.
Yeah, you do that from day one, it'll just be the way that you do it.
Precisely, precisely. Yeah. Also, don't forget the heat shrink, and by this I don't mean don't forget to buy it. I mean whenever you're soldering, if you are soldering two wires that are already connected to other components, if you do not put the heat shrink on the wire before you solder it together, you won't be able to put the heat shrink on.
Explain that.
Okay,
so, my brain's having a hard time with this.
I know. I was halfway through. I realized my speech brain isn't working so well. All right. Let's say I've got two pieces of wire that I'm soldering together, and these two wires are connected to components on the other side. Right?
Okay.
So I solder this together. Now I've got a big open joint between them. Right.
Right.
And now I want to put a piece of heat shrink on it. Except
you've already closed it.
Yeah, because that's a circle, folks.
So you need to route your wire through that before you ever connect the two wires to begin with.
And you will forget it. At some point, you will forget because you're tired or you're nervous, whatever it might be.
Or you're excited.
Yeah. But again, it's sort of like this is one of those things you just want good habits. Good habits means that you're always going to remember the heat shrink. And Burke has passed me. This is what Burke does in his spare time. I'm not sure exactly why Burke gave me this horrible example of heat shrinking. Burke says that this is, he had to cut this because he forgot to put the heat shrink on, which I completely understand. I've done the same thing, Burke, so don't feel bad. Don't feel bad at all. All right, so do you want to get to it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go ahead and do some basic exercises. Again, we're not soldering together a project. Yeah, stretching is important. This is gonna use all those muscles in the brain.
Yeah. All right, let's do it.
But before we get to that, let's go ahead and take a moment to thank a sponsor of this episode of Know How. Hey, Jason.
Hi.
You know, wouldn't it be nice if there was a way to be at your house even when you're not home?
Yeah, you know, I'm on my phone a lot these days, and sometimes I want to be at home even when I'm not on my phone. Yeah, does that make sense?
It does. But, you know, luckily there's a product that fits the bit that we're doing right now. That product is the Ring Video Doorbell. Now, folks, you've heard me talk about the Ring Video Doorbell even before they became a sponsor of the Twit TV network, because I actually bought one in the early days, back before they made it big, back before they even went on Shark Tank. I had seen them at CES, and I thought it was a fantastic product. This idea of putting something in place of a doorbell, you know, that you've got on your front porch, that will notify you when someone is ringing the bell, even if you're not home. That has a motion detector, so you can find out if someone's maybe lurking on your front porch. That has a high-definition video camera so that you can see, and a speaker and a microphone so that you can hear and talk to them. Two-way communications. It kind of blew my mind. It was a paradigm shift in home security, and I'm so happy to have them as a sponsor of this episode of Know How. Now, Ring's mission is to make neighborhoods safer. And the Ring Video Doorbell lets you see and speak to intruders on your smartphone from anywhere, even share clips with neighbors using the Ring app. Now, they've also got their Twitter account, which I love because it allows you to see what Ring users are doing. You get to see, people having scenes from their front door of people stealing packages. Anytime you see a video where someone is doing something a little shady, like looking into a window to see if anybody's home, well, that's probably caught on a Ring Video Doorbell. It's become the de facto standard for protecting your house when you're not home. Now, Ring's floodlight and spotlight cam lets you build a ring of security around your entire property. And just like Ring Video Doorbell, floodlight cam is a motion-activated camera and floodlight that connects to your phone. With high-visibility floodlights, HD video, and two-way audio, it lets you know the moment anyone steps on your property. You can see and speak to visitors, even set off an alarm right from your phone. And when things go bump in the night, you can bump back and immediately know what it is. Our Ring floodlight cams offer the ultimate in home security, and thieves just can't hide with Ring. You can monitor every corner of your property with a Ring of Security Kit, which includes a Ring Video Doorbell and your choice of either 1, 2, or 3 floodlight cams, and connect your Ring Video Doorbell with your favorite smart locks and hubs for added convenience, monitoring, and security. I bought this system for my parents because, well, I need to protect them. They're not here. They're in another state. They're in Las Vegas. And they've had people casing houses in their neighborhood. Well, with Ring, they can always see who's lurking about, who's come to the front door, who's come back a few times to see if maybe they're up at the club and the house is ripe for the picking. And even if they're not home, they can answer those calls and tell those people to go away wherever they are in their world, as long as they've got their phone. I tell you, if I can trust my parents with Ring, you know that I think you can trust them too. Stop crime before it happens and help make your neighborhood safer with Ring. Save up to $150 on a Ring of Security Kit at ring.com/knowhow. That's ring.com/knowhow. $150 off when you go to ring.com/knowhow. We thank Ring for their support of knowhow.
I bet you didn't know I'm at home right now.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sitting on the set here, but I'm also at home.
It's kind of fun. I love being able to do that, right?
Being able to drop in.
Yes. I had to dissuade my mother from doing one thing. She got used to, if she wanted to talk to me, she knew she couldn't call me. So she would go outside and ring the bell, and my phone would, I'm like, Mom, just text me. She goes, no, this is better.
This works. Yeah. Hey, if it works, it works, right?
All right. All right, let's go ahead and kick it off. Jason, the first thing we're going to do. Okay. Is we're going to go ahead and set our irons so that they're ready to go. Here we go. So what I need you to do is there's this little switch right over here. If you go to the handheld cam, there you go. You're going to turn that on. I've got mine set for 395, and what's going to happen is this counter will slowly start to warm up as it goes. Let's set it for so-and-so.
Mine says 679.
You're going to want to bring that down.
Okay.
Oh, no. So the little buttons on the side there.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Down to what?
Down.
Got it.
Oh, actually, I just realized that we have swapped our irons.
Oh, so they're in different.
Yeah. So turn yours off.
They're in different locations. What?
Well, because they'll work. But the problem is the temperature probe is slightly different. So I need you to go ahead and pull your unit. So you have to unscrew it.
All right. Oh, I see.
Right. Because otherwise it won't report what temperature you're at. There you go.
There we go.
I'll hand you that.
Ooh. Okay. We'll have to do the tip thing again.
No, I'll make you use that one.
Okay. Nothing like jumping into the fire.
Yeah. Come on. You know you want to do some fine tip.
Yep. All right.
Now, I kind of like this system because I have bought stations before where the iron was tied on. This works better. So there we go. So now if you look at it, it's going to start to rise. And so when it hits the number that you want, that it's confirmation that the iron is at that temperature. Now, here's the thing. Quick. People are always asking me, what's the proper temperature? There is no proper temperature. The proper temperature is the one that works for you.
Okay.
And again, you don't want it so hot that it damages the things that you're soldering.
Sure.
But if it's too cool, what will happen is it takes forever to transfer enough heat into the object. And now you're actually damaging the components that are connected to the wire.
Right.
Because that heat will go all the way down the wire.
Oh, it's smelling kind of soldery in here.
Yeah. We got that smell.
But, I realize you told me that there is no right place to put it, but really where should I put
it? You put 385. We'll go 385. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a nice midpoint. There okay, so let's start with a flowing exercise. So this is what we would call tinning. Anytime I'm going to use wire in a project, that's soldered to pads, what I will typically do is I will tin it first. So it means that you are going to cut it, strip it, twist together the strands, and then just put enough solder on it so that it makes it a nice clean joint. Because if you've ever seen someone attach a wire to a pad and like there's strands going everywhere, you don't really want that. That's a bad look. So let's kick it off with some of the easy wire. I'm going to use black because, you know, I'm in clerics, and you're going to use red because you're kind of colorful.
Okay.
And go ahead and take the snips. There you go. And cut yourself off about 6 inches of wire.
Something like that.
Yeah, we don't have a shortage. There you go. And
okay.
Give me that. And oh, no, just the clippers.
Oh, sorry.
There we go. So I'm going to clip myself off 6 inches of wire. Now you're going to not use the clippers. You're going to go ahead and use your strippers. And I want you to go ahead and strip off about let's call it about an inch. You would never do this, but I want you to have enough space to work. So you're going to strip off an inch of insulation. And really, especially when you're using going with silicone insulation, which is really easy, you just kind of want it. You don't want to cut through it. You just want to do enough to grab it and then just pull. Yep, and that's fine. You can have false starts a couple of times.
Yeah, because these don't stop you from cutting all the way through.
There you go. All right.
Okay, cool. So I got it.
So next step is this.
Do I curly Q the wires to make sure they don't fray out a little bit?
If you go to my handheld cam. Come on. Focus on this. Focus.
Oh.
Bad camera. Camera's being freaky. Okay, yeah. So I'm just going to twist these together. There you go. Just like that. Now you're going to use your helping hands. All you need to do is put it into one of the helping hands so that it gets held. You just don't want it to be able to move. So that's what I've got there. Yeah, that works. That works. Now, actually, let me get in on this so that people can actually see what
I'm doing. I'll do that. I'll follow you exactly.
Yeah, you want it someplace where you can solder, but you also want it someplace that it's safe.
Yeah.
Safe is good.
All right.
Does that look good, Alex? Yeah, okay. All right, now, we're going to take your iron. What you want to do is... you're going to wet your iron a little bit. That just means making sure that it's hot enough to flow solder. This is not what you do. You do not take a blob of solder, put it on the end of the iron, and then apply it to whatever you're trying to solder. That's a really bad way to do it. But do this. So I'm just going to sort of tin it a little bit. There we go. So we're working. Okay, I'm just going to brush it off. I just want to make sure that it's flowable. And it kind of, especially since this is a new tip, I just kind of want to get it a little bit brushed off, a little bit clean. Now, people make the mistake of heating up the solder and then applying it to the wire. That's not what you want to do.
You want to heat up the wire so the wire gets hot enough that it melts the solder right onto it.
Correct.
Okay.
But there's a trick to this. If you go to my side view, what you can do is put a tiny blob, just a tiny bit on the tip of the iron. I'm not actually trying to apply this to the wire, but what I'm doing is that's a much better conduit to get the heat into the wire because it will form around the wire.
Oh, I see.
So now I can do this. So I'm touching it to the wire. And as soon as the wire is warm enough, I'm going to go ahead and there you go. See?
And you're going all the way out to the tip of the wire? Oh, I see.
And now this wire is tin. Yeah, and you want that.
Yeah.
That shiny look is good. A dull look is bad.
Yeah, right.
All right, so, Jason.
I'm scared.
You're going to do great, Jason.
Thank you. That's what I need to hear. That's what I need to hear, as long as I don't touch my skin accidentally with this thing. A little frightened about that, but anyways. Okay. Is that a good shot? The wire itself is a little... Big. Well, it just, yeah, there we go.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah, that's good. Jason. Okay, so I need that stuff. So, I need the copper or the...
Oh, yeah.
That. Whatever this material is.
So tin your iron a little bit. Make sure it's good to go.
Okay, so tinning basically means...
Just a little bit of that.
Just a little bit of that.
Make sure it's hot. Okay, it is hot enough. Good. Okay, now use the little slag pit and just kind of brush around. Make sure you get your nice... Oh, okay. See, you don't want that. You don't want a big blob of solder hanging off the end. That's actually... Yeah, it's kind of dangerous. But it's good you have a maker mat because if it drops, you're not going to destroy the table. You're just going to make a burn mark.
So now the tip of it is kind of shiny.
There you go. Yeah, that's kind of what you want. That's kind of what you want.
All right. So now I want to heat
just a little bit tiny. Put a tiny bit of solder on the.
Tiny bit of solder. Okay.
Just a tiny bit. There you go. That's right. Okay. Now you don't want to put the tip on the wire. You actually want to put the side of the tip on the wire.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And then touch close to the iron and see if it's going to flow into the wire. I don't think you've transferred enough heat in there just yet.
I'm realizing my vision for this fine tooth work is not very, very good.
It's okay.
I don't know, is it? Let's hear. What is that sound?
That's the Alex playing the frying bacon sound.
Okay, thank you. The fine tooth thing is not working for me. Why is it not working?
Well, this is why.
Like, I'm trying to get more surface area on the wires so it heats it up more, but it doesn't look like it.
Okay, so when that's happening, what you need to do is put a bigger blob of solder on the iron because it's not transferring enough heat into the wire. On the top of the iron, though. There you go.
Oh.
So you're focusing on the tip, and when you're dealing with wires, the tip's
there. Now it seems to be.
There you go. See, the smoke is good. The smoke is your friend.
Okay. Something like that?
Yeah, that's pretty good. It's pretty close.
It looks shinier to me than it does on camera.
Yeah, it does.
But,
Something I should mention, by the way, folks, is I've actually got a very small fan off camera blowing across the table so it will take the fumes away for us. Think about that. If you're going to be doing soldering, have a fan, place it backwards just to suck the fumes away from your area because you don't really want to be. Okay. Yeah. Actually, that's a good example. Don't take this the wrong way, but that's what you don't want. You don't.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, that makes sense. It's a big drip there at
yeah,
the end.
So you don't want too much solder. And what you can actually do is just heat that up with your iron and like get the blob onto the iron and then put it into the slag pit.
And then kind of siphon it off or scrape it off in the.
Right. And then there you go. Just a little bit of time. Don't be greedy. Just do a little bit of time. Just get it off that.
Sorry, Alex. I'm trying to do this.
There you go.
Looks good. Okay. Ugh. I want that piece. Come on, piece. The very tip. There we go. Okay, now we're looking good.
Now you're cooking.
All right.
So, okay, that's a start. Now let's do something that's a little bit easier. We're actually going to use the flux paste. Remember I told you that the flux paste kind of pulls in the solder?
Yep.
Well, we're going to use it. So go ahead and cut off the end that you just made and just go ahead and strip yourself another inch of wire.
So is this wire still going to be hot to the touch or do you think the heat's dissipated at this point?
Although I can't tell because I've pretty much burned off all the nerves in my fingers now.
Fair enough.
But you know, that's how I do.
That's the fun.
That is the fun.
Bacon chicken.
You look at my side, Alex. So what I'm doing right now is I'm just going to go ahead. I've gone ahead and cut and I've stripped and I've woven the strands together, and I'm just going to put a tiny bit of paste. That's it. That's all I need. It's not a big blob. I basically just inserted it into the paste.
The very tip, basically?
Oh, no. Go all the way through.
All the way through? So okay.
There you go. I'll give you the little paste.
All right.
So it's like dip. Just dip right in. Yeah. See, it's not going to carry much. It's just need a tiny bit.
It's definitely coated.
Right, okay, right. Cool. But now, if you go to my shot, my overhead, Alex, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to heat this up. And all this is it's going to melt the solder paste. You're going to just see a little bit of smoke, a little bit of bubbling.
The bubbling.
That's it. Now, there is no solder in there, but what I've done is solder paste will actually kind of clean the strands a little bit for me. And the nice thing is now when I apply solder, what's going to happen is that's going to go right in. If you go ahead and hand me back the solder.
Yep. There you go.
So before, I kind of had to rely on the rosin core. So there's actually a little bit of solder in here, solder paste in here already. But now when I heat this thing up, it just takes to it immediately. It just sucks it all down.
Oh, man, you're an expert.
That's what we want.
You've done this before,
Jason.
Obviously, you're using the easy tip too. Okay, so I need the solder.
Yeah, so you got the solder paste on it.
Yep.
Ahead and heat it up first, and get that little. Like, you'll actually see it bubble. Let me see if I can get in there.
Okay.
Yeah, see that bubbling?
Yeah,
that's good.
And that's all I need.
Well, a little bit more.
Or a little bit more.
Fry that stuff up. There you go. Okay, you're good.
Now we're cooking.
See, and you haven't, put any solder on there, and it looks a little tiny bit shinier.
Yep.
It's actually cleaning it a little bit. There's a little bit of acid.
Okay, so now I do what I learned the last time. I heat up a little bit. Dang it.
Hit the iron a little bit just so you can put some on. There you go. See how much easier that flows in?
Yeah. Or something like that?
Yeah.
I'm on fire.
That's just a little, that. There we go. Dip it. And then maybe just a little bit of. There you go.
Oh, okay.
Now you sound professional.
Okay, cool. So it looks pretty good.
That's pretty good.
It's not perfect.
That's not perfect, but that's exactly. And in fact, the biggest threat that people are going to have when they start using paste is they want to use too much.
Oh, okay.
A little bit goes a really long way, folks. And if you put too much, what will happen is it will start going all the way down into the insulin. Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, when I dipped it in there and pulled it out, you could hardly see that it was coated.
But right.
You probably don't want to see, like, drops of it or build up on it. Like, it's just like a light glaze.
Yeah. Just a light glaze. But when you heated it up, you could see the bubbles.
Yeah,
it actually bubbled away. That tells you that there's paste on it. That's really all you need. You don't need a whole lot to make it be effective.
Cool.
All right. So we've fluxed it. Now let's join it. This is the fun part. So we need to go ahead and join this to another wire.
So I need to cut another wire?
So actually, I think you should cut yourself some black.
Okay. So we have the opposing wires here. You can have the red.
Well, it looks better visually. Yeah. It's a TV thing, Jason.
Yeah, I know.
It's a TV thing.
What is TV?
Okay.
So after this, I should be able to make a TV, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, once you can solder wires together, I mean, that's basically all you
that's
need to
the
make
next step. That's the next logical step. Solder wire, make a TV.
Okay, so what we're going to do is go ahead and cut away the thing that you just soldered. We don't need that anymore.
Oh, okay.
And I want you to go ahead and... here we go. I want you to go ahead
what
and...
If I, what if I use this as a wire cutter? Would that work?
Kind of, but you might as well... I mean,
you
again,
might as well use the
get
tool.
Used to using the right tool.
Right. Oh, that's right.
You can use the wrong tool, and it will probably work, but get into the good habit now. This is the 101 series.
Got it.
Do the same thing. Strip away about an inch. By the way, an inch is way more than I would normally suggest for this, but we're doing it because it makes it easier, and it's more visual. It's easier for people to see. I normally strip away about a quarter inch. There you go.
Boing.
Okay. So what I want you to do is you're going to go ahead and twist the two ends together, just like you did before, or twist the ends, just like that. Just
I did that. Yep.
Okay. Now, if you go to my overhead, Alex, this is the laziest wire splice you will ever see and you will ever do. It's also the easiest wire slice. They call it a pigtail or a rat tail. My wires are parallel. I've stripped off the same amount of insulation. I'm just going to put them together. I'm going to match the top of the insulation with each other, and I'm just going to twist just like that.
Yep. Okay. Twist I've together. Done that before.
This is easy. This is super, super easy, which is why it is so popular. You'll see this a lot inside of junction boxes and places that are closed off. And the reason why you only see them inside junction boxes and places that are closed off is because it's very easy to do, but it cannot take much mechanical stress.
Right. Because it seems like it would be very easy to pull it apart.
Precisely, because if I start pulling on these two wires, there's that single point that they're really joined at, and that's very easy to break. But again, it's down and dirty, super easy. So I'm going to go ahead and put this. I'm going to add a tiny bit of flux, just like that.
All right.
I'm going to put it inside my helping hands.
Did you go all the way to the bottom of the base of the wire in the flux?
No.
Okay, you just did the tip.
I a very, very small amount.
Okay.
I really don't want too much here, especially since this is going to be technically a production joint.
Yeah. Got it.
Okay, and stay on mine. So super simple. I'm just going to heat it up until the solder paste starts to bubble and flow a little bit. Then I'm going to dab a little bit of solder.
Little dab will do ya.
Yeah. And you'll notice how when I'm soldering, I keep the solder near where the iron is, but on the other side of the wire. I'm actually kind of using the solder to push the wire down into the iron. It makes it a bit more firm contact that way.
Yeah.
Okay. So go ahead and you try it.
Okay. You got that shot. Okay. So I'm going to just do this.
There's that bubbling.
A little bit of bubble.
Golden brown.
Little bit of bubble. Okay. So is that enough bubble?
That's enough bubble.
Okay, good. Now I need the solder.
Yes, you do, sir.
See how I'm getting so quick? I'm bossing Father Robert around.
We want that. It's confidence.
Okay. Be confident. Okay. So now I heat up the wire and then...
Remember, you can always touch the iron to start it off, because if you have a little bit of solder...
Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah, it transfers heat a lot better.
I did forget that part. I imagine this is also a lot easier to do when you aren't like artificially mounted behind a microphone that keeps you away from getting closer to it with your eyes.
Yeah, no, this is 10 times harder than just doing it by yourself.
I think that is the part of the problem that I'm having, is that it feels like... And maybe I'm getting old. Am I getting old? Does it matter if the iron's on the bottom?
I always do that, but I mean, as long as it's touching the wire.
Okay, it's looking a little silvery now.
A little silvery, but you've got most of it's on the top. You actually do need it down near the base.
Oh, I see. Okay, so then I'll just go like this. Maybe.
Yeah. By the way, I should mention that this is my least favorite splice. Again, I'm just showing it because it's down and dirty and a lot of people use it.
There we go.
But it always seems to be the greatest point of failure for me, so I don't.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Cool.
And then, by the way, we're not done because you've now made a splice and these wires will be held together.
Yes.
But you've got a huge exposed conductor.
Yeah, it's exposed.
That's no bueno. So I'm going to take a little bit of heat shrink. I'm going to go ahead and cut me off a piece that's long enough to insulate this.
Do you want to go longer then? So you want to do a little overlap with the silicone.
Right. Yeah. You want to cover up anything that's metal whatsoever. I'm going to turn on my rework station. I'm going to set it for about 230 degrees, which is more than enough to activate the heat shrink. And if you go to my overhead, so all I'm doing is I'm slipping this over. By the way, one of the advantages of doing the rat tail is I don't have to worry about the heat shrink before I solder because I can put it on after.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That
and
makes sense.
Just this. So this is just forcing hot air. And it's shrinking that way down.
That's cool.
Yeah. And again, the reason why I like this is because there's an adhesive. So this is not, I mean, the wire will break before this heat shrink strips back off.
Okay.
Okay. So go ahead and try that on your side.
Now, you have a different tip on your
heat. Right. I gave you the big one just because it's a little easier to work with.
Okay. So I need to get out of here.
Right. And these irons, the hot air gun will not activate until you take it out of the cradle.
How snug should these be over the top?
You're probably going to want to use something smaller, like this size would be good.
Okay. All right. So this is what we're looking at here.
And go ahead.
And I need to cut it to size. So I want a little bit of rollover, so maybe something like that. Eh.
Yeah.
Eh.
By the way, you are activating a lot of OCD. I get this all the time. TD is like, the tip is dirty. Clean it. I'm like that, but that's okay.
No.
Don't let them psych you up, man.
I'm learning.
There you go.
The fact that I've been doing it.
Okay.
Right there. And then this is on.
So take it out of the cradle.
I've got dashes.
Right, because it won't start heating up until you take it out of the cradle.
Oh,
there you go.
All right.
See, now it's heating up.
All right. At what point? So it's heating up. It looks like the numbers are jumping. Okay. And then I go.
And when you're dealing with heat shrink, don't stay in one place too long.
Yeah, you just kind of
move around. Move like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
A mutant butterfly bee?
No.
Okay, so something like that?
Yeah,
or
that's fine.
Even more?
I mean, I would normally make a little. Actually, normally I wouldn't use this splice, but yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
It's going to keep the conductor away from anything that might short with it. And I mean, it's ugly, but it works.
Right.
Remember, this is going to be inside of a junction box, so we don't really care.
Okay, right. Cool.
So let's move on to the next part. We've gone ahead and we've done the pigtail and the rat tail. The one that I prefer, however, is the Western Union splice. This is the one that I think like 90% of us kind of learned and we loved. You hand me the snips. We're going to go ahead and cut off the end that we just made. By the way, folks, these are exercises, so this is what you should be doing. You should just keep doing it until you're happy with the results. So what we're going to do, let me describe it before we actually do it. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to strip off an inch of insulation off of each side.
Okay.
And then we're going to twist them together.
Facing each other.
No. So individually, we're going to twist them together.
Oh, right.
Twist together the strands.
Okay.
Then we're basically going to put the middle of the exposed conductors over each other, and we're going to twist the wire over the opposite conductor to sort of make a double wind.
Does that
make sense here?
Okay.
Watch mine first before you do yours. I'm going to make mine super big just to exaggerate it because otherwise it won't show up on camera.
Okay. I mean, I can do the stripping. This is old hat at this point.
You've
done it a whopping 3 times now.
So you're saying is your old hat at the stripping.
Technically, yes, I'm saying that. But
no.
Out of context. No.
But no, not saying
that's not what I meant.
Hey, I'm just reporting what I'm hearing.
All right, so I've stripped. I'm fully stripped.
Okay. So go ahead and go to my... come on.
There you go.
Audio listeners are very confused right now.
What I'm doing is I've got these two conductors, and I've gone ahead and twisted them together so that the strands aren't everywhere. I'm going to put the middle of the conductors together, just like that. Okay. Right? And then I'm going to wrap the red around the black conductor, and then wrap the black conductor around the red conductor. So this is what it looks
like. Oh, yeah. So you're twisting.
Right. So this
how does this end up actually being different than the parallel? Because they're still twisting in the same way.
Oh, but you'll see when we're done.
Okay.
So actually, I'm going to start with the black just because it's closer to the camera. There we go. Like so. So wrapping around the conductor like
that. I got you. Oh, that makes sense.
Right?
Yeah.
And this is actually an ugly example of a Western Union, but...
Now... Technically, we should have put the sheath or whatever you call these on
prior, We don't have them connected to components, so it doesn't matter. But yeah,
right. Normally if we were doing this, though, we would have put the sheath on prior.
Precisely. You would have had the heat shrink. So this is kind of ugly, but what happens is you end up with one splice, and they're wrapped around each other.
Now, you could pull that really hard, and they would separate, right?
Well, right now, because there's no solder.
But the solder is going to lock it in place.
Yeah, once I add the solder, it's going to be locked in place. So this is, let me put it here. This is what this bad mamma jamma looks like.
There we go.
All right. And if I wanted to, I would put paste, but this solder actually does have a little bit of paste in it. It's Rosencore.
Okay.
So this is what it's going to look like. Like so. So all now I'm just getting it into the strand. Again, we don't want too much.
Yeah.
But there we go. That is rock solid. I mean, that's going to be, I can take this and I can actually pull on this and that should be stronger than the original wire.
Why? Why stronger?
Well, because I've got double strands held together by a bunch of solder.
Okay.
Yeah. Well. So go ahead and try it. So Western Union me, Jason.
Western Union.
Now, again, the pro of this is it looks a lot nicer than a pigtail. It's much stronger than a pigtail. However, it's also trickier to master. It's very easy to get the strands in the wrong place. It's very easy to just make it look kind of a mess. There we go.
Okay. That. And then this would... Oh, I feel like maybe I'm running out of wire. Let me scooch them a little bit. Okay, and then this would twist around the other way. Okay. That's about right. All right,
put it into your helping hands.
All right. Drop it into these helping hands here. Maybe halfway point. I have a little OCD in me, too. Okay. So I have that there. Then I need the solder.
Mm-hmm. To do your solder magic.
Let's see if I've learned anything here. First, I tip a little bit. Okay. Then I heat. And...
Chumley in the chat room says, if I walked up to a solder joint with red on one side and black on the other, I'd start ripping it all apart. Absolutely. Because anyone who's doing this professionally knows that red is for hot.
And right. Yeah, that makes sense.
We're only doing it for the demonstration, folks. But he's right. If you do see that, it's probably not a safe circuit to use.
All right.
There you go.
Oh, it's a tiny bit drippy on the bottom. But
you could fix that. I mean, you don't have to add more solder. You could just heat the iron and flow it in there. Because it's going to want to flow into the strands.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? That's looking pretty good. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
And then what you would do is you would just put heat shrink over that, just like we did with the first one.
Right.
But as you mentioned, you're going to want to make sure that you do that properly.
Right. You would. If this wasn't a practice round, this would already be connected and I'd have to cut it and redo.
Yeah. You want to do one more?
Sure.
Let's do one last one. We won't get to the pad soldering today because we do want to do the hacking of the Tesla. Leo's Tesla, by the way.
Yeah.
So what you're going to go ahead and cut yourself another inch of insulation off of each one. We're going to do one more splice.
Are we cutting away the thing we already did?
Yeah. Okay. This is the one that I really like to use, but I rarely use it just because it takes more time. And this is called the mesh splice. So what we're going to do is you don't twist them together. You actually want to let them stay stranded.
Okay.
And actually kind of splay them out a tiny bit
So I want them to be frayed?
A little bit frayed.
Okay.
So you might actually need to unwind them a tiny tad.
All right.
So what I'm going to do is, now that these are frayed, I'm actually going to take the strands and I'm going to intermesh them. So I'm going to push.
What?
I'm going to push them into one another.
Oh, that makes sense. Here, yeah. I was thinking, like, what, you're going to braid these things?
I'm
really bad at braiding hair, so that scared me.
Just like that. So the strands are going into each other.
Ah, that's smart.
Well, yeah, but it's kind of hard to make it look right. And then once they are, you twist them all together, and there we go.
That looks nice.
Yeah.
You don't have the kind of bumpy road that you get when you're winding them.
Precisely. Now, this is a little more difficult to do, and it's definitely more difficult to make it look right. But once you get it like that, and once it's clamped into the helping hands, the second part, which is just getting it soldered, is relatively easy. I'll solder in my tip.
Heat the wire. Put the solder on. Make it look easy.
It's kind of what we do, you know.
So the nice thing
about this is those strands they've got as much surface contact with each other as possible, even more than just twisting it together in the Western Union.
Yeah.
So this is by far the strongest type of splice that you can do. And again, it can take a bit more time to master. So that's why I don't use it nearly as much.
The strongest, and it looks great.
It does. It looks much nicer.
Almost looks like those wires were meant to be together.
And actually, what you can do is, what I've done with silicone wiring before, is you can just kind of stretch the insulation back to cover it.
Oh.
And if you
use... because you're not adding a whole lot of extra...
You're not. Yeah, you're not.
Diameter right. to it.
But Jason, give it a try.
All right, so I've got some frayed wires.
It's a frayed.
Okay, yeah. Maybe this one's the better shot. I don't know. Oh, yeah. I see. It's just not I will focus. Here, I will freeze. So I've got some frayed wires.
There's your frayed wires.
Come on, wires.
Get in there.
Get together. I'm going to get away from the microphone.
There you go. Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Now we're good.
I'm having a really hard time. okay. All right. So, and then I twist?
And then you twist. So twist the entire thing together. Right. So you're twisting all those strands so that they'll stay tight enough for you to get solder into them.
Okay. That
one. Oh, and by the way, I know some people will apply solder before they do this.
Really?
But right now, I mean, solder paste before they do this. But what that means is now you've got solder paste all over your fingers. That's pretty good, Jason.
Well, thank you, Padre.
So lock that into your helping hands.
All right. So now, hands be helpful.
And I will focus it as soon as it's in there.
The hands of helping. Okay.
There you go.
Nice.
It almost looks like the original wire.
It almost looks like I know what I'm doing. Okay, can I get the solder?
Yes, you can.
Solder wire?
Solder.
Check.
Check.
Stat.
Push.
Okay.
Something. They say that when things are
clear. Okay, so I get it on there. I go do-do-do, and...
Good. Hey, how about that? See, that's what you want. You want that nice, smooth. That's it. That's it. You don't need more.
Okay.
Nice. Jason, that is nice. That looks very, very nice.
Oh, well, I got to go do this.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever gone to do this and missed it and went,
no.
Okay, because I can see myself totally doing that.
Yeah, so we're done. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and make sure all of the solder's off. And then go ahead and brush it a couple of times inside your little moist towelette pad.
Moist towelette.
And then
moist is a word that I just don't know about, but there we go. Okay.
And there you go. And so that is your basic wiring. If you're going to be wiring, those are the there are plenty of splices. There are so many splices because that's basically what linesmen do. They invent new ways to connect wires. But I would use the pigtail, the rat tail, if you just need to get it done and you're not really worried about aesthetics. I would use the Western Union splice if you kind of are in a hurry, but you want it to look better and you want it to be a bit stronger.
Yeah.
The mesh splice you would use if, like, this is a piece de resistance. This is your masterpiece. This is something you want to last
that's
a very
not
long
hard.
Time.
I mean, if that's the piece de resistance, I mean, that was...
It's not that, that hard, but I mean, if you're doing a lot of these, we did one.
Yeah.
If you're doing 100 or 150 of these things, that does add up over time.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Now, Jason, you know, what we need now is a magical scene change. Here we are, the magically changed set. Jason, we've got Leo's Tesla in front of us.
We've turned into giants. That's what really happened.
Okay, so this is not, this is Leo's Tesla, but it's not Leo's Tesla. So he got this a while back because he was one of the first to get the X, which he enjoys driving around. This is obviously built for children, but this is Twit. So we've been driving this thing around, and I think we've kind of bent out the wheels a little bit.
What are you going to do? It's begging to be ridden. And
the maximum weight on this thing is supposed to be like 60 pounds.
I didn't know that one day, and I tried to fit into it, and then I was like, wait a minute, there's no way this is going to work. Thankfully, it didn't, because then I found out about the weight limit.
Believe it or not, I actually fit in it as long as I straddle the outside.
if you sit your butt here and your legs hang out on the sides, then
I kind of had to reach down to activate the pedals, but it's cool.
It's a hand pedal.
We got this a while back, and it's been fun. It's been sitting outside of Leo's office. We actually have a couple of kids who have ridden in it, and they don't like it because it's kind of rudimentary. It either goes or it stops. There is no varying grades of speed.
Well, that's true. I see what you mean. Speed-wise, you can still steer it and everything.
But. So what we thought we would do is we would actually turn this into something else. And we're going to need the soldering skills that you just learned, because we're going to make this a remote control car.
What?
Yeah, it's actually got everything in here that we need to make it a remote control car, except for two sets of components. Now, if you go ahead and open up the back there, Jason.
I don't know if I can around these jetpacks. What are these things?
The rockets, I mean, come on, that's when you need to go really fast.
Okay, or into space.
Yeah, you can go ahead and pull the battery pack out of there, because what you see is that is a 14-volt LiPo cell that's inserted into the back of the car. Yeah, there you go. That thing. Now, the nice thing about this is that's going to provide me 14 volts, and the speed controllers that I'm thinking about putting in here can typically handle anything from 7.2 all the way up to 16 volts. So this should be well within its range. And it's got its own charging system, so I want to use as much of the original parts as possible. I don't want to turn this into a remote control car by strapping on a bunch of remote control components. I actually want to use the components that's there. Now, knowing that that battery is there, and knowing that the foot pedal turns on the motor, and knowing that this controls forward or reverse, go ahead and take a look in here. You run the camera. There you go. See? So that switch right there, that controls forward and reverse. And, of course, I've got the horn, which I can activate, but I'm not going to do it here. It allows me to kind of think about how they've wired this. I go from the 14-volt LiPo pack to the forward or reverse switch. So that will determine which way the current is flowing. It's just a two-way, two-pole switch, so I can either send it positive, negative, or negative, positive.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on which way it goes, it's going to make the car go forward or back. Then there's a foot pedal that is basically just an on or off switch. It's a momentary switch, which means I can either go full speed forward or full speed back. Now, this right here, this is an entirely mechanical steering. And unfortunately, if you get a shot of this, Jason, the wheels out here, it's not a great turning radius, and there's not a good way to fix that. So this is going to be a very limited remote control vehicle.
Yeah.
Unless I want
to. It's not a very nimble remote control.
No. But that lets me know that there's a certain way I'm going to have to design this. Now, let me take this off. Get a shot of that, Jason. Inside, this is the powertrain. So I've got two motors, one driving each transmission on either side. Now, the motors are actually reverse wired from each other. So when one motor is spinning clockwise, the other one is going to be spinning counterclockwise in order to make the vehicle move forward and back. Now, this is good, though, because it means that I can actually, since I know the steering up front is going to be so bad, I can use differential thrust. I can actually have one wheel turning faster than the other so that the car turns a bit better than just the steering. Right?
Wait a minute, they're not locked together?
They're not. Well, those are independent transmissions. Are two motors.
Well, that gives you a lot more capability then.
Yeah. So here's what I need. I need a way to control the motors, and I need a way to turn the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the wheel is actually really simple. I just need a powerful servo. This is a 20-kilogram servo. This is a DS3218. It's full metal, so all the gears inside of here are metal, which you're going to need, because if they're plastic, they'll strip. And it will allow me to put 20 kilograms of force through the range of this servo. This is about $19. So this is inexpensive. The only question is if I mount it here or if I mount it underneath the car near the transmission. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to just mount it underneath just so that it keeps this nice and clean. I'd like to keep it so it looks stock.
Right.
Right. Then I only need one other component. And that other component is the ESC. We've seen these before. I've used a lot of them on the show. And unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to get it out of this bag. Or maybe I will. Ah! There we go. Ah, no Mylar is safe for me. So what this is this is a 320 amp, 7.2 to 16 volt brushed ESC. Brush is important because these are brush motors. There's only two poles rather than three. This will allow me to control both of those motors. Hmm. So what I'll be able to do is I'll be able to wire that up to a standard receiver because these are both just remote control standard, PWM. I can wire it up to a standard receiver and it will allow me to use a transmitter, an RC transmitter, just like I would on a remote, any other remote control car or a quadcopter. In fact, it's going to be the same remote, same transmitter as the quadcopters. Since I have so many channels, what I'm probably going to end up doing is I'll be able to control the direction of the car with one stick, and the other stick will control a camera.
Nice.
So that you can drive this thing FPV.
Almost like driving a real Tesla.
Almost.
So close.
Right. And actually, Chumley in the chat room, he obviously has seen these before because he knows that those are 540 RC motors. This was, again, it was only designed for someone up to 60 or so pounds. So there's not a lot of oomph, but imagine this being able to drive itself without those 60 pounds. Mm-hmm. We're going to do damage.
Yeah, or we could put like a very small dog in there and it'll seem like the dog is driving.
He's not down with me, but I'm thinking this would be the perfect baby stroller for Patrick Delahanty. Right? I mean, come on.
And if you could work in the technology that you have in drones that auto follows you, then Patrick's just walking downtown in a little Tesla with his baby is following
him. Although if it glitches and it starts following somebody else.
Bad idea. Never mind.
You've just self-kidnapped.
Control Z on that. I apologize.
So we're going to be working on this. This is actually a project I'm going to be doing for the new screensavers, but it was too much fun. When I couldn't believe that Leo said, yeah, go ahead and cut it up. I'm like, really?
Hey, what else is it going to do? It's just going to keep collecting dust.
At know-how, no expense is spared. We will even destroy a Tesla.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. How about that? Now, we know that this has been a lot of information. If you want to know anything about anything that we did, that includes the parts list for all the components we use for our soldering 101 and the step-by-step for the different types of splices and the parts list for, we haven't even named it, Project Tesla, Project mm-hmm. Leo Tesla.
Project Stroller.
Project Stroller. Yes, actually, I like that. Project Stroller, if you want to find out how we're going to be doing that, you just need to go to our show page, which you're going to be able to find at twit.tv/KH. That's for know-how. Now, while you're there, why not subscribe? It's the best way to support the show and make sure that we can continue to do fun things like this. There's a little drop-down menu where you can get an audio version, a video version, or a high-definition video version into your device of choice. Again, twit.tv/KH. Also, don't forget that we're on the socials, specifically Google+. I know people make fun of Google+. They say it's a ghost town. But here's the thing. If you're willing to moderate your community, it is actually wonderful. It is so much better than the alternatives. Go to Google+, look for know-how, ask to join. It's a very short approval process. It's how I keep all the spam accounts out, the troll accounts that destroy the rest of Google+. They can try to troll once and then they're gone forever. But there's about almost 12,000 of us in there, Kitas, know-it-alls. If you have questions, if you want to answer questions, if you've got pictures or videos of your project, again, go to Google+ and look for know-how. But Jason, that's not the only place that they can find us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think we do the Twitters, right?
Sometimes. I'm at Jason Howell on Twitter.
That's your pretty easy. Twitter-er?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I Twitter, I tweet-eat. Tweet-eat?
Tweet-eat.
I tweet-eat at twitter.com/PadreSJ. And we've got the third member of our community who loves this Tesla. We know him as Tesla Joe. But you can find Tesla Joe at twitter.com/ANELF3.
Padre, that's pronounced Alex.
So close, though.
I know. Twitter Joe, Alex.
Also, you didn't explain the proper way to hold a soldering iron like a pencil.
Man, Shutterstock, you are never going to live that down. Until next time, I am Father Robert Ballas there.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And now that you know how,
go stroll it.